Turn with me to Psalm 102 this morning. Psalm 102, we're going to read verses 24 to 28. I'm talking this morning about the immutability of God. That's a long word. It basically means God never changes. Psalm 102, verse 24, it says, I said, O my God, take me not away in the midst of my days. Thy years are throughout all generations. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. The children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning. We just are so thankful that you never change. We thank you that you love us. We thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your word. Thank you for who you are. Father, we thank you that you have been the same from before creation, and you will always be the same. Father, as we look further into this morning, I pray that you would encourage our hearts with those truths. I pray that you would challenge us with those things, knowing that your word is the same. Your word stands as it did many years ago. It stands true today. Father, we thank you for your steadfastness. We thank you for your patience with us who changed often. Father, draw us to yourself this morning. Encourage our hearts and challenge us from your word. May you be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Think back 10 years, 2012. Where were you? What were you doing? What kind of work were you doing in 2012? I try to think back on that and it's like, well, yeah, I remember 2012. Began a 2012 was just before transition time in our lives. I changed, still in construction, but I changed into a different phase of it, doing more work for myself. But 10 years, what about 20 years ago? How about 30 years ago? I was 25 years old. I was 25 years old. Are things different than they were back then? Of course they are. Why is that? Because we change. We change location, we change jobs, our families grow, and sometimes our families get smaller when those in our nest move out and have other opportunities before them. And we're in a constant state of change. At times, change occurs faster than at other times. It seems like sometimes time stands still and we're just going through the motions every day, day after day. And then something dramatic happens, some major event takes place, and change occurs again. We're living in a world where it seems things are changing not only daily, but sometimes hourly. You turn the news on in the morning, or you read the headlines in the morning, and it's one thing. You read the headlines in the evening, it's completely different. Things have changed. Because we live in such a world, it is hard for us to understand something that never changes, let alone someone that never changes. Things are left to themselves, do not stay the same. For example, you take a field, you leave that field alone. You don't plow it, you don't cultivate it, you don't plant it, you don't mow it, you don't do anything to that field. What's going to happen? Well, the weeds are going to grow for one thing. The ground's going to get hard, and it's going to become more unmanageable, and it's going to take a lot more to get that field back to a workable condition. Why? Because things don't stay the same left to themselves. Because of sin, man left to himself will not become more godly, will not become more disciplined in his Christian life. When we live in a world of change, and that change is downward in this world. But when you come to a verse like Psalm 102, verse 27, where it says, but thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. We struggle to understand what that means. But this morning, I want to look at five areas where God never changes. And there's a lot more, but we're going to look at these five this morning. The first one is God's existence never changes. Whether speaking of God the Father, God the Son, or God the Holy Spirit, we can still say God is the same. He doesn't change. And All three are part of the Godhead, and they always remain as they have been from before the creation of the world. And they will always be that way. Look at Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. God had given Moses a responsibility. He says, Moses, I want you to go down to Egypt, and I want you to lead those people out of Egypt. And Moses says, well, who am I going to tell them that sent me? What am I going to say? What am I going to say to them? I'm going to go down there and I'm going to say, yeah, I'm supposed to lead you out of Egypt. He said, yeah, who gave you that responsibility? Look at verse 14. God said unto Moses, I am that I am. He said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. Think about that a minute. Think about that word, I am. There's so much wrapped up in that short phrase. We could spend the rest of the time talking about I am and how God is I am. But those words don't point to a beginning in God's existence. They don't reveal an end to God's existence. They say, I am. When God says, Moses, tell them, I am has sent you. At any given time, he is God. As he was God before creation, so he is God for all eternity. He always will be God. His nature never changes. As he was God to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, so in Exodus 3, he says, Abraham, I'm your God too. As we have a walk with him today, he's our God too. He is never changing. He is eternal and he is self-existent. His existence never changes. Secondly, God's character never changes. Hebrews 13:8, we sang that song this morning. It says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. And we would hope that our own character is getting better, more Christ-like, more mature. But the reason we have such a prospect is because of where we started. See, God's character never changes. We hope ours does. We hope ours gets better. And we can have that hope because of where we started. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's where we started. Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You see, we said earlier that left to ourselves, things begin to deteriorate. If I don't do anything with my body to keep myself in shape or to keep myself fit to eat right and everything else, I'm going to have problems physically, emotionally, mentally. I'm going to have problems. But because of sin, our bodies continue to deteriorate. That's not true of God. God is without sin, and all that he is in his character is all that he ever will be, all that he ever needs to be. And it's hard for us to understand that, but God doesn't have to learn anything. God doesn't grow in any area. He does not need to grow spiritually. And to say that God does not change in his character, we can say he does not change from better to worse or from worse to better. He is perfectly holy, and he cannot change for the worse because any deterioration within his nature is impossible. God can't get worse than he is because God can't deteriorate in any way. He also does not change within himself in his maturity. He doesn't become better in a certain area of life, stronger and more knowledgeable. No, God knows all things. And he does not change from one order of being to another. He doesn't get to be a better God or a higher God. No, he's always God. He's the only true God. So God's character never changes. Our character, we hope, is changing from what we were in our fallen condition. Thirdly, we see God's word never changes. Turn with me to Malachi chapter 3, last book in the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. Verse 5, it says, I will come near to you to judgment. I will be a swift witness against sorcerers and against adulterers and against false swearers. Against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. Verse 6 says, For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. What was God referring to here? God was keeping his word. He's keeping his covenant with his people. Turn back to Genesis chapter 17. Let's look at that. Genesis 17, verses 1 through 7. Genesis 17, 1, And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram, and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me, and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shalt thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, and their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. See, God made a covenant with Abraham and his descendants, and even though Israel had forsaken God time and time again, even though they had turned their back on God, God did not change. God still will keep his covenant with them. And he's kept his word and he will fulfill his promise. Israel deserved to be destroyed. They didn't deserve to be existence as a nation. But God would spare the nation in order that he might keep his covenant. His word never changes. His word is always fulfilled. Where else do we see God keeping his word? Genesis chapter 2. And we looked at the fact that man is a sinner. Because man changes, we need to change from that sinful condition. But how did that all start? Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And we know as we read on that Adam and Eve chose to disobey God. They said, God, we're going to do our own thing. We're going to follow our own flesh. We're going to do our own will. So they disobeyed God. Look at chapter 3, verses 23, or verse 22 to 24. Genesis 3, 22. And the Lord God said, Behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. And you look at that verse and you think, how could God do that? God gave man a choice. Man made his choice. And God said, I can't let man live forever because he disobeyed. He didn't obey what I had told him to do. God had to keep his word. Man was sentenced to death physically and spiritually because of his disobedience to God. But what does that mean for us? All of us are going to die physically one day, and those are certain consequences of sin that we can't avoid. But we don't have to die spiritually. None of us has to die spiritually. Spiritual death is to be separated from God for all eternity. And I pray that nobody in here is going to go through that. But the opposite of that is eternal life in heaven with God. God gives us a word about our sinful condition. John chapter 3, verse 18. John 3:18. He tells us what's going to happen. John 3:18, he says, He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Down in verse 36, he says, He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. See, God gives his word about our sinful condition. He says, As a sinner, And if we do nothing about that sinful condition, we're going to go spend eternity in the lake of fire. The Bible describes it as a place of torment, a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so if you hear somebody say, oh yeah, I'll spend eternity with my friends in hell, no, you won't be enjoying that time. God has to keep his word. And those who do not believe in him and receive the gift of salvation will spend eternity in the lake of fire. But on the other hand, those who will receive him will have eternal life and will spend eternity with him in heaven. So God's word never changes. Fourthly, we want to see God's mercy never changes. Mercy, by the way, is when we don't get what we deserve. How many times have we seen in our own lives that God has spared us from things we should have experienced pain and judgment for? Psalm chapter 62 is a verse that talks about God's mercy. Psalm 62, verse 12. I believe David understood God's mercy. Psalm 62, 12 says, also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest every man according to his work. Look at Psalm 86, verse 15. Psalm 86, 15. It says, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. You think, but how can God send somebody to hell? He gives his mercy and says, you don't have to. He gives the opportunity to repent. Micah chapter 7, verse 18. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. Micah chapter 7, verse 18. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. Now I want you to go to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verse 10. It says, when it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the disciples saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? When Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Christ was saying there, he says, you're so caught up in your making sure your sacrifices are just right. But he comes to show mercy to those who need to be saved. He comes to show mercy to sinners. Because he doesn't come to call righteous, he comes to call sinners to repentance. And God has been merciful to mankind from generation to generation, and many times man has been spared from death because of God's mercy. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Barnes says in his commentary, whatever we have done or can do, when we come to receive salvation from the hand of God, there is no other element which enters into it but mercy. It is not because our deeds deserve it. It is not because we have, by repentance and faith, wrought ourselves into such a state of mind that we can claim it. But after all our tears and sighs and prayers and good deeds, it is a mere favor. Even then, God might justly withhold it if he chose, and no blame would be attached to him if he would suffer us to sink down in ruin. We don't deserve any of God's goodness. We don't deserve any of his mercy. But he displays it to us. And that brings us to the final aspect of God that we'll look at this morning that does not change. And that is God's love never changes. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God has always loved the world, the man. He's always loved mankind. John 5:24 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me shall have everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life." Ephesians chapter 2, let's turn there real quick. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. We see God's love here. We see his mercy here. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "But God," and it's talking about the verses previous, it's talking about our sinful condition. It talks about where we were in darkness, where we were in disobedience, and says, "But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we are dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." Even in our sinful condition, his love never changed. You know, he gave Adam and Eve a choice in the garden, and they disobeyed him. But you know what? He still loved them. And throughout history, as you read through the Old Testament, as you read through the New Testament, as you read through the annals of our history, and how many times man has just rejected God. You look at our nation today, and how mankind has just rejected, flat out rejected God. And it's evident in things you see in the headlines. But God still loves man. And the opportunity for man to be reconciled to God is still there. Romans 5:8, "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And God has demonstrated his love to mankind since he created man. You know, just the fact that he created us showed he loved us, because God didn't have to. He could have created a world of animals and plants and oceans and mountains and everything else and flowers and things for him to enjoy. But he loved us and he wanted to have fellowship with us. So he created man so we could have fellowship with him, have walk with him. The greatest demonstration of his love was when he sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross for my sin and for your sin, providing salvation from the penalty of sin and eternal life with him. So what's the application for us? If God has not changed, and God never will change, if he is always holy, if he is merciful, if he always loves us, what has changed? Isaiah 53:6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." We have changed. We have corrupted the original design that God had for us by our sin. We have chosen the path of destruction over the path of life. Because we made the choice to rebel, we have to make the choice to repent and turn to Christ. We have to make the choice to live God's way. You see, as we're walking down this path of life, God is always steadfast. God is always going straight forward. It's us who wavers. It's us who gets off the path. We've changed. We have to get back in our walk with God. As unrepentant sinners, we have to repent of our sin. We have to receive Christ as our Savior so that we can be reconciled back to God and be headed down the right path. Schaeffer says, "God will not compromise, and he need not be coaxed. He cannot be persuaded to alter his word, not talked into answering selfish prayer. In all our efforts to find God, to please him, to commune with him, we should remember that all change must be on our part. We are the ones that have to change. And it's the blood of Jesus Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit that makes such a change in us possible. And that's the only way that we're going to change. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for what we've seen this morning in your word, that you never change. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are the same for all eternity. Eternity past all the way to eternity future. Father, we thank you that your love and your mercy and your word and your character and your existence is all the same. Father, we thank you for your love this morning. We thank you for your love that sent your Son to die on the cross for our sin. And Father, if there's someone here this morning that has not received you as their Savior, I pray that they would not leave here before taking care of that, before settling that matter with you. Father, as believers, I pray you'd help us to be consistent in our walk with you. Help us to be yielded to you to allow you to do the work in our hearts that needs to be done, to mature us, to grow us, to change our hearts to be more conformed to the image of your Son. Father, we thank you for the work that you'll do in our hearts. We thank you for the encouragement that we have a steadfast God, a God who never changes. In Jesus' name, amen.